Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
A lot of stuff happened in that game last night. I love these moments, Key and Jay, in sports where our perception of the world changes, right? So Tom Brady, we're now talking about, like, is there even a landing spot that makes sense for him? Like, who would want him based on what you saw last night, given his age and everything? And then Dak Prescott, well, he's no good and this and that. And then he plays a practically perfect game last night. And now all of a sudden it's like, hey, can the Cowboys even be stopped? Dak was 25 of 33, 305 yards. Cowboys won 31-14, and they really dominated. And the main thing is Dak didn't turn the ball over. That's the first time in 8 games he didn't turn the ball over. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, on Dak's performance, he said this last night.
I thought he was outstanding. Before the game, I was talking with Coach Mike, and we both agreed Dak was going to have to be the one that won it. Not necessarily the defense, although he'd be the first to tell you, and I would too, it's a team game. But the defense, when you get in a game like this, you've got to have a great, really outstanding quarterback play. And, boy, he met the mark in every way. And I told him right before the game we were talking, I said, don't you be anything but aggressive. No conservative here. Be aggressive.
So here's the question now. He was aggressive, and he was great.
Key, I just love Q. It's like what I told him before the game. Because it comes back to me. And I'm the one that really motivated and got him to where he needed to be.
And got him the defender he needed, right? He's like, you need a defense and all that.
I love Jerry, man.
Hey, has Dak Prescott silenced the doubters?
I don't know. You still talking.
Yeah, he hasn't silenced me.
Obviously.
I always thought, but my opinion of
You're
Dak
still talking, Max.
My opinion of Dak hasn't changed. I thought he was a good but not
Key
great quarterback.
Did you ask Key the question?
Well,
he
threw it back at me.
No, I threw it back to Max.
I always said he's a B+. Now, here's how you can elevate that standing for
it's
me.
It's not a lot of A's, though, dog.
That's right. No doubt.
Yeah.
That's good. But what I'm saying is, if you're a B or a B+, but when the team needs you most, you're an A or an A+, to me, that's who you want.
Yes. But here's what I would say to you, and Jay, but more so to you. When did Eli Manning perform best?
Playoffs.
So that's all that matters.
Yep.
When is Dak Prescott going to perform best? I've seen him now that I can remember 2 times in the playoffs that I can remember. He's been there 3 times, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember 2. Once against Green Bay where he performed really well.
He was excellent that game.
And
he
wasn't his fault that they lost. Yeah. It was Aaron Rodgers. And then last night. So clearly when he gets to the playoffs, his performance, for some odd reason, Jay, heightens. And then maybe you can look at his playoff numbers historically, however many games, whatever the case against San Francisco last year, whatever, you know. But it looks like he plays pretty damn good football.
Is he a top 10 quarterback?
Yes.
I always thought he was top 10. Mm-hmm. I thought he was like fringe top 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, first off, you're saying top 10 out of the best players in the entire world. It's not an insult if you say somebody's fringe top 10, like barely in or barely on outside.
9, 10, 11.
Like, that's
yeah,
not,
usually
that's
9
not
or 10.
Insult
yeah.
to
yeah.
me,
yeah.
by the way. And so here's how I look at it, Key. Can Dak win a Super Bowl? Yeah, he can win a Super Bowl. Has it worked out for the Cowboys over their time? No, it hasn't. But it's amazing, though, how, like, after a game, you can't or you're not allowed to have questions about Dak Prescott. He played his tail off last night. Like, I give him all the credit in the world.
No tail.
It was a big-time performance.
Yeah.
But we also need to see there's more to the book of work, the body of work, right? So the
yes.
next game, like, The expectation is for this team, I'm going to tell people again, is to get to the NFC Championship or to win the Super Bowl. It should be for the talent they have. So last night was the first step in us seeing him do that. And it's the right first step.
If he plays the way that he's capable of playing and they lose, it won't be on him, but people will try to make it about him.
Of course they will.
That's just the reality of it. You could, you know how you say it, Jay, every quarterback is under some sort of microscope and looked at a certain way and blah, blah, blah. Josh Allen's looked at the same way.
Yep.
If Josh Allen goes out and drops an egg against Cincinnati, there's going to be conversations about what is he really. Is he a guy who only could play at a certain level so many games and then all of a sudden he falls and falters? Joe Burrow, okay, well – you know, if it wasn't for Huntley's mistake, do they run the ball the last 7 minutes of the game and win and get out of there with a W? I mean, you can point to a lot of different ifs and whats and all those sort of things. The only thing I can point to is a man was 25-33 for 305 yards, four touchdowns, and one on the ground.
The only thing I would say about Josh Allen is when you look at the AFC, though, there are three dogs in that one. And between, like, if you're just comparing quarterbacks, and I know it's a team sport, but between Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow, you're saying, yo, these are the top of the top of the top.
I want to get back to something.
Whereas, hold on. With Dak, you're looking at, they're saying, okay, Jalen Hurts coming off injury, he should be the best quarterback left in the NFC, correct?
He should with home field advantage, but the NFC's teams are made up different.
I understand.
They're not leaning just on the quarterbacks. Philadelphia is a complete team. I would say San Francisco is a complete team. I would say the Cowboys are complete teams. Those are complete football teams to me from front to back.
Whose quarterback would you take first out of those complete teams?
I'm going to take Dak Prescott.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's my point.
Yeah, I'm going
to
take Dak.
I want to get back to something you brought up, Jay, about how the book isn't finished. You know, like this is a chapter in the book. If a quarterback plays in a ton of playoff games, I'm talking about he has a 17-year career, he's in the play. Let's say he plays in 20 playoff games. I mean, that's a ton. Very few guys have ever done that. Every game is 5% of everything you know about the dude, right? And on the journey, when they've only played in 5, 6, 7 games, it's a much larger percent, 15, 20% of everything you know about him in the playoffs. So when Dak authors a chapter, as he did last night, yes, it was against a weak offensive line and an old quarterback, for sure. But still, he played exceptionally well. Our opinion varies more the next day than if he'd already played in a dozen playoff games. In other words, as the book gets longer, each chapter is not as important to our overall evaluation of him. That's why we feel so comfortable evaluating Patrick Mahomes right now, even if he has a bad game in the playoffs. He's got a ton of wins already.
But I do think that chapter one of that book, the playoffs this year for Dak, it was
a bestseller.
It's a great chapter last night.
Yeah, great
especially
chapter.
Coming off the way he's played the last couple of games where he's had – so many turnovers. So no turnovers, and he was deliberate.
And is he – so here's the question now. Hands down a top 10 quarterback, because if these games are high leverage like that and can really alter opinions, I would say that Dak Prescott before this game is a fringy top 10 quarterback. And after this game, top 10 quarterback, even if you have him 9 or 10 or something
that. So where are the other 6 quarterbacks at?
What do you mean?
Where are they at? Like, if he's a 11 or 10, where are the other quarterbacks at? They at home. Other than the few that you got here in Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, you know, Jalen Hurts is in it now, but all the rest of these dudes ain't in the
You're right.
In the
By
mix.
The way, a guy like Justin Herbert, who I love.
Home.
I love Justin Herbert, but he did not play very well down the stretch in a game where they had a huge lead. I mean,
He's at home.
There are reasons for it, but it's true.
So if he's a top 10 fringe, 11, 12, where are the other guys at?
Right. That's
where are the
I
other
say,
four, five, six guys at? They at home.
Big games, and right now I think this moves him up. You have a performance like that. It moves you up. Casey in Michigan. You're on with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
What's up, Casey?
What's up, brother?
Yo, Key, you're exactly right today, man. And Max,
I'm right every day, but go ahead.
Max. And I know Dan is going to be on one of the shows a little bit later. Y'all got to stop, man, because y'all did the same thing last year with Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford led the league in interceptions last year, if I'm not mistaken. So this year, yeah, Dak might have led the league in interceptions. Somebody has to do it, right? But He put on the performance that he had last night. That should silence all the doubters from this point going forward, as far as how good he is. Top 10, whatever. Nobody really
cares
about that.
Why does one game – hold on. Explain that. Why should it – I understand right now, today, it does. He's done a thing. But if he has a bad game in the very next game, then you contextualize a win against a sub-500 team on the playoffs differently, right? Like, why do you say from here on – if you're a Cowboys fan, I know you want it to be that way, but why does one game like that mean from here on out no one can ever question him? Why? What's your logic there?
Because, like, I think the criticism of him has been kind of unfair. We get it. He plays for the Cowboys. You know, he's a star just because he plays for that team. But I think the criticism at times has been unfair.
So, is that true, Key? Do you believe that, Jay? You believe that?
I mean, he's had – it's always laughable to me when people get angry about the criticism is when you're using facts, right? So, yes, things can change because, Key, I get it. Like, I talk to Charles Barkley about this all the time. Getting a championship is difficult. But when the facts are you've had one playoff win and people utilize that in the argument, people then get, like, all angry. But that's what the facts are.
I would say you asked me, Max, that – is it unfair?
Well, the caller just said the criticism of Dak thus far, some of it or a lot of it, has been unfair. Has it been unfair? Has he been unfairly criticized until now?
I think it's been utterly ridiculous how he's criticized. He's criticized, which is fine. You can be critical of interceptions. I told you a long time ago he better stop throwing interceptions or else I'm going to tear his you-know-what up. But what happens is with certain players in leagues, not just in football, but in basketball and baseball and other leagues, people look for anything to pile on. And he's that. When really the only thing is he's got to stop throwing interceptions. But they make it, he's so bad, I don't want him. They make it sound as though he cannot play football.
They use the result to go back and
– to me, that's ridiculous because you – you are putting more on it than what it's worth.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Dan Graziano,
bums.
ESPN NFL Insider, is with us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Max. Morning, Jay.
What's up, Dan?
Dan, we're going to play...
What's up, Danny?
Not much. Oh, hi, Key. I didn't see you there.
We're going to play... Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Okay.
In a second.
Oh.
In a second.
We got something else first?
We've been speculating, but you talk to people.
That's fun.
About Tom Brady's future.
Oh, yeah.
And partly because the question is, especially in this league with all these mobile quarterbacks now, and yeah, he had a bad offensive line. We get it. Against a good pass rush, maybe not a great Styles matchup. But based on what you saw last night, based on his age, based on how the league is now, et cetera, who would want him that he would want to go to and play, right? And that includes the Bucs. What do you expect to happen with Tom Brady?
I think he's probably done in Tampa. And, I mean, look, We are speculating because only he knows what he wants to do, and truthfully, he may not know yet. But I would not be surprised if he played for a different team besides Tampa next year. I think that's certainly well within the realm of possibility. And so, which is that team? Who wants him? Who has the structure to support him? I mean, you know, I did a quick survey this morning. There's 32 teams in the league. About 38 of them have offensive line questions. So it's not like he's going to go somewhere perfect, right? And if you are a team that is set on the line, you know, you're probably pretty good already. So I don't know. I mean, people talk about Las Vegas. They would have to do work there. You know, would Miami do it, depending on what shakes out with the Tua situation? There are places he could end up going, but ultimately, it's up to him. He has complete control over the situation. His contract voids first day of the league year. There's a no franchise, no transition tag, no trade clause in there. So, like, he'll be a free agent, and the Buccaneers will have no control over the situation. So he'll be able to do whatever he wants.
There's only two teams that I would vote for him to go to, Dan.
Yeah.
One, the New York Jets.
Okay.
And I would vote for him to go back to New England for the last hurrah.
Huh.
Not that that would ever happen, but those would be the two teams that I would say, yeah.
Those are interesting choices.
Jets are interesting because, I mean, like, the Jets were supposed to have a good offensive line this year. Everybody got hurt. So if they get all those guys back healthy, you would think maybe. And they do have
a lot of young offensive talent.
Championship caliber defense. Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Boy, I mean, that would be.
You just wonder how he can move, man. Like, even watching last night, he can't.
He can move.
And it's not just saying, like the agility to get out of harm's way. It seems like he lacks that now, though he has a very high IQ.
And then just the absolute aversion. Like, he is not going to take a sack. Like, no. If there's a threat of a sack, he's throwing that ball in the dirt. And so, yeah, I think it's got to be a pretty perfect situation, which it was when he went to Tampa. So he'll be looking, if he wants to keep playing, he'd be looking to replicate that.
Okay.
Golden
ready
York,
to play
man.
Overreaction.
I came in ready. You said we're going to do it, and I was ready, and you were like, "Man, we're going to talk about something else."
Guys, are we ready to play overreaction?
So I'm ready.
Been ready.
Is everyone ready to play overreaction? Overreaction. The Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl, Dan. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
It's an overreaction. Look, the team they're playing next week punches a lot harder than the one they played last night. And it's not that they can't win that game, but they will be underdogs in that game, and deservedly so. The 49ers have won 11 games in a row. They're playing at home. They play defense on a different level than anyone else in the NFL does this year. They have two extra days of rest. I mean, there's a lot going in the 49ers' favor. And if the Cowboys do somehow get past them, then their next game, in which they probably would be favored, is an NFC East game. Which, I mean, that's tough. We saw Buffalo struggle to take out an undermanned Miami team. We saw Cincinnati struggle to take out an undermanned Ravens team. You play those division games, you play a team for the third time, like, and teams that know each other that well, that's tough. The road is difficult. Dallas is capable of getting there, but they're not there yet.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's an overreaction. I understand that
you're wrong.
The 49ers are a juggernaut. I mean, they got some stuff on the offensive side of the ball with their Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and company and Ayuk. And then defensively with the young corner, D'Amador Lenore, playing at a high level. And then obviously you got Bosa coming off the edge. Mm-hmm. But it's not out of the question that they can go in there if they play their A game and win. And you're right, Dan, playing a team three times when they move on to the next round, if they were to beat the 49ers, would be tough.
All right, we're playing overreaction. Anyway.
It's not an overreaction.
What?
You good?
Not an overreaction. I need another cup of coffee. Bear with me, Dan.
What?
All right, here we go. The Giants need to re-sign Daniel Jones.
Oh, that's not an overreaction. I think they do need to re-sign Daniel Jones. He's clicked with the coaching staff. He had a big year. He stayed healthy. The turnovers are under control. You know, he had the best interception percentage, like in terms of the lowest number of or percentage of passes intercepted of any quarterback in the league this year. Like, it makes a lot of sense, I think, from both sides for them to get something done with Daniel Jones. And if they do, it would allow them to franchise Saquon Barkley and then to keep the whole thing intact and go out and get some receivers.
It's not an overreaction at all. But will they, Dan? Will they re-sign him, or will they screw it up?
I think they'd like to.
They better re-sign him.
I think they'd like – well, but, I mean, it takes two to tango, right? Like, what's he going to be asking for? Is there some other team out there that would be willing to pay him more than the Giants? I'm inclined to think no, but,
What's the number? What's the number, Dan?
Well, look.
Just give me a number. What would be the number?
For what? How many years?
4 years.
4 years. Oh, gosh. No, he's got to get. That's 25 a year? That's not enough.
No, you said 100. No, he's got to be a $40 million guy, right?
Yeah, he's over 30. Like, here's what's crazy.
If you can get him for something in the 30s, you got to do that.
I said week four, hey, 3 years, 75, do it now, because you could see it coming, right?
Yeah.
And Key was like, it's going to cost you 90. I thought, okay, fine, do it. 3 years, 90.
Yeah.
But the Giants kind of purchased playoff insurance. They're like, wait, let's see what happens when he gets to the big moment. But now this is the flip side of that. You got what you wanted. He showed up huge. Now it's, I think he's right, it's going to cost you like close to 40 a year probably.
I would think so. If you can get it done for less than 40 a year, I think you've got to do it if you're the Giants. If it starts to get in the mid to high 40s, then you got to think about what your other options are.
Josh Allen's turnover problem will keep the Bills out of the Super Bowl, Dan. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I think Josh Allen has thrown, in seven career playoff games, he's thrown 17 touchdowns and three interceptions. And two of those interceptions came on Sunday. So I know, I've watched him this year. He's got an issue with throwing the interceptions in the red zone. I don't understand it. It kind of feels like what I've been saying about Dak for the last couple of weeks. Like, why won't he stop throwing interceptions? This is not him. Last night, he didn't throw interceptions. You see how good they can be. I think Josh Allen has more good than bad in the bank here in terms of his performance as a postseason quarterback, and I'm going to bet on the good resurfacing over the bad.
Yeah, it's an overreaction for sure. I mean, if you look at his playoff performances since he's been in the league and going to the playoffs, Dan mentioned it, he's 17-3, 17 touchdowns and three interceptions. Two of those came last week, and when you think about it, it's not losing them the games. It's a difference if you're telling me, oh, my God, he threw another pick six. Oh, my God, he threw another pick six. I can't believe it. That's not happening.
So, I mean, like, yeah. To me, it's like Cincinnati could keep the Bills out of the Super Bowl, and Kansas City could keep the Bills out of the Super Bowl. I think if they don't get there, it's not going to be because Josh Allen gave a game away. That's just my feeling.
The only thing that makes you think twice about that is their team relies so heavily upon him to make so many plays that if it comes down to a play here or there, if Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes outduels him and he makes a mistake because he has to force the issue, that could maybe not be an overreaction.
See, I think that what Jay just said is the key at the end. Yes, you can't say he's just a fantastic player. But just like, hey, they're all good players, but we're comparing them to one another, right? They have a strategic advantage against most teams. They have Josh Allen. But when you're up against Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes, a lot of whether or not you win is going to be, can your guy do what the other guy's doing, right?
Right, but how'd they get eliminated last year? He did do what Mahomes did. Mahomes just had the ball last. Like, that was, you know.
So they changed the rule for him,
right?
Man.
And they changed the rule.
They didn't change the rule for Mahomes, right?
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. All right. That is Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN NFL
overreaction,
front office.
Not
front office
reaction.
Insider. Just insider. Not regular insider.
Not Dan Tannenbaum's Graziano. In there if you want a front office guy.
Well, I'm got both of you later on this just in.
I don't know about that one, Dan.
2 p.m.
You don't want,
Eastern.
You don't want Tannenbaum?
No, because some of the trades that he thinks the team should make.
Well,
he's creative.
You know what we're going to get into, though, guys? What? Lamar Jackson. Did you see this post on IG?
I did.
Could he really be done in Baltimore? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Lamar Jackson, he shouldn't have to crawl and beg and plead to get a deal done as valuable as he is for your organization and your football team. He shouldn't be in a situation of feeling stressed out. You should have given him what his market value is a long time ago and not try to shortchange him.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you just heard Key from a past show saying not try to shortchange Lamar. If anyone out there thinking, well, but they, you know, they didn't want to give him the Deshaun Watson money, 230 guaranteed, because he was basically treated like a free agent. It was an outlier. The owners don't like it. But Key has brought this up in the past. Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray got 160 plus guaranteed that same offseason. The only guarantee they offered Lamar is $133. So they were 30, 40, 50 million shy of the going market at the time that wasn't Deshaun Watson. And we're talking about inferior players to Lamar who've accomplished less. Listen to this, guys. Lamar posts on social media. Jay, Key, in a reposted message on his Instagram story Monday morning, meaning he did not write the quote himself, but he reposted it, okay? Quote, when you have something good, you don't play with it. You don't take chances losing it. You don't neglect it. When you have something good, you pour into it. You appreciate it. Because when you take care of something good, that good thing takes care of you too.
Preach.
Key, when when Lamar reposts it, this is what Jay has been talking about the whole time, where he didn't think he was going to play. I'm not saying he's not really hurt or anything like that, but they played with his money, and as you pointed out, not Deshaun, 30, 40, 50 under guy, guaranteed under guys like Kyler and Russell Wilson. Is this, did he just make his intentions known to the Ravens front office?
You know, Max, he probably did to a degree, but, you know, you take things in life experience, right, and you try to carry that with you when you get information from people. I take stuff from Max Kellerman, Jay Will, whatever the case may be, that I can utilize in life that may help me understand certain things. And one of the things my longtime sports agent, Jerome Stanley, has always told me, many negotiations, whether it's basketball, football, whatever the case is, he goes, at the end of the day, all a player wants is his money. That's all he wants. He just wants his money. So if he might be upset right now and he might be feeling a certain way about the organization, if they get right, quick, fast, in a hurry, we good, man. I'm coming in. Let's go. But if you keep playing with me, then all you're going to do is alienate me and make me not want to be a part of the organization and part of the team. And at some point, I'm going to have to let you know. It won't be a repost on an IG. It'll be actually me verbalizing that to you in your face.
Yeah, don't make me do it. You're going to make me do it, right?
That's the reason.
He's verbalized it multiple times. If it was, you know, signing.
No, when I say, but when I say verbalize, I mean like Jay, like,
I'm out of here. Well, I'm just saying he's giving you so many signs, whether it was, I forget, one game, he signed a kid's, you know,
poster
said pay Lamar his money. And he, out of all the people there, he targeted that one and was like, I'll sign that one. He's talked about it. And by the way, it just feels like this is a reflection more so in the organization. It's J.K. Dobbins making comments about, I don't feel like I get my carries. It's them trading, you know, Hollywood Brown and, well, we're more in love with the system than we are with the current players. And I think that thing, Key, overall, Lamar's like, but I am the system.
Yeah,
like, without me, you don't have a system. So stop valuing the system over me.
I
and I think other
you,
players
Jess.
Feel that anger.
I want to follow up with you because that thought is very important for me with the Ravens, because the Ravens have had a lot of success. It's hard to tell someone or some organization the way you're doing it can be improved when they – find that they've always done it a certain way, and that has led to success. But as you mentioned, you know, and I brought it up the other day, it's not that players don't want to play with Lamar, even though that's the perception. It's that they don't value certain things in Baltimore, as Key has pointed out. They've never gotten a top wideout for Lamar. J.K. Dobbins is not crazy about the way he's used. There have been wideouts like Hollywood Brown. They want out, right?
They signed Roquan Smith to an extension.
They want the middle linebacker who no one else wants to pay, right, at that level, who gets all the tackles. That's the identity of the team. So given that, Jay, does Lamar stick around?
I mean, yeah, he sticks around if they franchise tag him.
Well, they're gonna tag him.
But I guess if they tag him, though, Key, if you're Lamar, if I've just watched everything that happened with Deshaun Watson, regardless of whether you want to tag me or not, I don't want to be here.
Right, just even to get the dough.
I don't want to be here now.
You need to create a situation where you're basically a free agent.
It's very hard. Like, when you get tagged, You don't want to be – no one really wants to be tagged because they want to try to get a long-term deal done. But if the long-term deal is not being done, it's very hard. That tag number's got to be $52 million. Think about it, though, Jay. Think about it in basketball terms. $52 million for 1 year, and then you can potentially be a free agent. If they tag you a second time, that's $104 million in 2 years. Then you certainly could be a free agent.
But, Key, what if I get hurt in the same system that I've gotten hurt in the last 2 years in a row? Like, what if I get hurt and something different happens?
I understand.
Granted, I get that 52, but if I force my way out, if I can get a 4 year, yeah, 240, I mean, yeah, I'm
no
a
travel, question.
I'm trying
no
to get question. That than worried about 52
no,
million
no,
for
no
1 year.
No question, but I'm looking at it as if they're not going to move him. I'm looking at it as if they're going to tag him and not move him because they don't want – one of the things that the league try and do as organizations, you know, they all work together on this stuff, right? Even though they claim they don't on certain things. They don't want to set a precedent of guys forcing their way out on tags every single year.
Hey, Key, I want to ask you something, like a pointed question about Lamar. Tim Hasselbeck made a point on this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern ESPN.
Ooh, look at him turn that corner.
And it's not that Lamar doesn't get, you know, he's gotten hurt in the pocket, not on designed runs, et cetera. So let's put aside his style of play and blah, blah, blah,
Ooh-wee.
Why you might not want to pay him, right? But what about this? He is more dependent on his legs than other quarterbacks. Obviously, they're a weapon. You want to use it. You want to design runs. He can when a play falls apart, he can, you know, a busted play, he can turn into a touchdown, all those things. And therefore, as Jay points out, injury to a lower extremity for Lamar is more costly, literally costly in the long run. And that's why your idea about tagging, look, you could play through two tags, you get your $104 million, and then you're going to get a contract. But maybe that contract's not going to be there to the point that it would be now because he is so reliant on those lower extremities.
Those are Jay's own valid point. I'm just saying if the team doesn't want to move him, and he has to play on it because it's hard to say, okay, I'm going to pass on $52 million. It's hard to say. I mean, it's not like Lamar's made $250 million already.
Yeah,
it's a hard deal.
That's why they do it that way to give the team leverage.
But here's what I would say about Lamar's legs. Lamar can rip it though. He can still throw the football, man.
Exactly.
He can throw the football. I know a lot of people focused in on his legs. Oh, he gets hurt. Man, that dude can throw.
But if you ain't getting other receivers.
My only thing, if you're not getting other receivers for him to rip it to, then that's a question. And I also will say this. We've been talking a lot about Daniel Jones the last couple of days. We're saying what he has to be in the 40s per year. So
that's what I'm saying.
If we're going to watch Daniel Jones get in the 40s per year, I need my damn money. I am better than Daniel Jones. I am the MVP. I am the reason that we have a chance to win the Super Bowl each and every year. I'm watching that dude get paid, and I can't get paid.
Who would the Giants rather have, Daniel Jones or Lamar Jackson?
Lamar is that?
Yeah, but Daniel Jones is our guy now, though, Jay. But Lamar's better than Daniel Jones. What have I always said? Daniel Jones, a poor man's Lamar Jackson. That's what I've said, and you guys are saying no. I'm telling you. All right, we want to hear from you.
He ain't no boy.
He is a poor man's Lamar. I've been trying to get you could design runs for him, the whole thing.
That person just got in the car and heard you say Daniel Jones is the same as Lamar Jackson.
I didn't say same. I said poor man's Lamar Jackson. And not poverty-stricken anymore. Working class man's Lamar Jackson. Lower middle class. Not upper middle class. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, 888-SAY-ESPN. We want to hear from you.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Lamar Jackson, he shouldn't have to crawl and beg and plead to get a deal done as valuable as he is for your organization and your football team. He shouldn't be in a situation of feeling stressed out. You should have given him what his market value is a long time ago and not try to shortchange him.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Tony Dungy. Great Tony Dungy says he would have concerns, in spite of what Key, you just heard Key say, he would have concerns about giving Lamar Jackson a long-term contract. Here is Tony Dungy, Pro Football Hall of Fame coach, on the new hit show. I don't know if you heard about it. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio. Listen to this.
Well, I would worry, you know, because you're talking about a guy who uses his athleticism and his legs are so much a part of it. He has been nicked up a little bit. I think you built this franchise around him in terms of where they are now. You've built the team that way. You've got an offensive line and running back, strong receivers that really fit this system. I wouldn't want to start over again, so I would want to get things done. But I think that has to come across your mind when you're talking about that long-term commitment.
See, Key, I don't understand this whole thing about, you know, he's been nicked up a couple of times. I get that, and he uses his legs. But we just talked about 7 of the 8 quarterbacks currently in the playoffs are guys that use their legs a ton, and they're super athletic. So what are we worried about from a long-term perspective?
Well, they carry the ball less than him. He's on design runs. Outside of Josh Allen, Josh Allen's probably only one of the quarterbacks that's left that actually physically carries the ball. And Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, Lamar, and Josh Allen are the three that come to mind that's left in the playoffs that carry the ball on design runs. Now, Coach Dungy is being a coach, man. He's being a coach. He's being a front office executive. He didn't say he wouldn't do it. He's just saying you got to think about it, which is true. Anytime you're making a financial commitment at such a large level as an organization, you have to think and weigh the pros and the cons of these situations. We would pay Lamar, but guess what? It ain't our money. It's not our money. But imagine if you were sitting in that seat and had to make that decision. You sit back and you got to, you know, we're talking, now let's talk problematic here, realistic, right, Jay? Is he a guy that you want to pay $250 million to and now you got to answer to the owner when something goes south? Because it ain't our money. So right now we like, hell yeah, you better pay him. But if that wasn't the case and it was our money and we were the owners and the general managers, we would be hesitant to do it.
You're a little more hesitant to spend it.
Yeah,
we're presented
absolutely
by Progressive Insurance.
So, Key, I was going to talk to Max about this. I think we're asking the wrong question.
Well, talk everybody to keeps me. Why are you talking to Max?
I'm talking
about
to both of you.
What's the matter? I'm sitting right here. You can't talk to me?
Well, anyway. I don't like the fact that he said he was going to talk to you as if I'm nobody.
Anyway.
We're all three going to talk to each other.
I can't with you. Everybody's pretty. We're okay here, girls. All I'm saying is that we keep asking why the Ravens haven't paid Lamar. And I'm sitting here thinking, why would Lamar even want to be paid by the Ravens? If we're talking about this system, Key, we're talking about, well, out of all the quarterbacks – even though he's using his legs a lot, it's a designed run, right? More than Josh Allen. Nobody used the designed run more than the Ravens. And if I'm looking at the system, I'm saying, well, wait, I can rip it. They're not going to give me any wide receiving targets here to work with because of the system. Is this a system I actually want to be part of long term, Key? I get the money. I get the money somewhere else, though. Why do I want to keep putting myself in harm's way?
No, but wait, Keith, you know why that's interesting? Is because you always emphasize he can rip it, and I agree. And I think so much of the world – but hear me out on this. He was taken, and people said, what about wide receiver for him, right? That's the old stereotype about the black quarterback who's athletic. Then it turns out he's great. And then what's the conversation became? Look at what the Ravens did for him, basically. They designed the tight end sets, and they just built. But now it's at the point, he's developed to the point where maybe it's not really what the Ravens are doing for him. Maybe it's what he is doing for the Ravens, and maybe he doesn't need to be a part of that long term where they're never going to go get him an A.J. Brown, right? What about that, Key?
No, look, man, at some point, Lamar Jackson is going to get fed up with what they're doing for from an offensive personnel standpoint, there's no question. But they went out and got Rashad Bateman. They drafted him. He's just been in and out of the lineup, and he's hurt. There's no question about that. Then when you look at Hollywood Brown, they went and got him, and Hollywood Brown felt like as he stayed there and his contract was coming to a close, he's looking at the marketplace, and he's saying to himself, well, I'm not being as productive as I need to be to get the bag that I'm looking for. So the best thing for me to probably do is exit this situation. So why don't y'all trade me? Because y'all not going to utilize me so I could justify the money that I'm going to want. That happens. Lamar has to make a decision as time goes by on whether or not he wants to remain in Baltimore and try and win championships given the system that they run right now. No, because – what they're not going to do is they're not going to change what they do as long as Lamar is their quarterback.
That's why I got to be out. If I'm Lamar, I'm out. I can't do it. This system is incredible. I love it. It's helped me flourish. But I feel like my game is now to the point.
But I'm going to put you up on game.
Where I'm going to go somewhere else where they're going to give me the wide receiver
targets. But I'm going to put you up on game, though, Jay. I'm going to put you up on game now. You like Lamar, right?
Yeah.
I love Lamar. Max loves Lamar, but does 31 other teams
his
like
market
Lamar.
Will be more specific than other markets, and by specific, I mean smaller, and that drives the price down is the point.
Yeah, Dave, so you got to be careful in these situations because everybody don't like his style because some of them are caught up in their own, you know.
You put Lamar Jackson on the New York Jets. Good Lord. Dave in Maryland, you're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and
Max. To get him.
Hello, fellas.
What's going on?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, first of all, I just want to say, listen, you know, Jay Will is 1,000% correct, okay? I'm from the state. I hear this stuff. I've been hearing this stuff for like the last year and a half. What are they going to do with Lamar? So let's walk this back. I'll make these quick points, and then you all can comment on. So let's walk this back. Before the Deshaun Watson trade, Lamar was already talking about wanting to get that money, and then – because Cleveland messed up, gave him all that guaranteed money. They said, don't worry, we're going to take care of you, whether we do it in season. We'll just, you know, he said, okay, I don't have no agent, fine. You know, I want to be here. So then fast forward that, they trade his boy, who he's a real tight with Hollywood Brown. He found on Instagram about that because the Ravens didn't want to get him no more money. So they ship him off. So it makes him mad. So all these things keep happening where he feels like he's disrespected, he's not inputted. And let's be honest, right now the players have all the stroke right now. And so, of course, he does get hurt. So I understand the Ravens, why they feel this way. But and then you think about it like this.
Dave, we can't think about it any other way. We're out of time. Okay, that's how we have to think about it. Dave, that was the time you had to have us think about it a certain way. We can't – no more time to think about it any other way. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Ryan Clark tweeted after last night's game, who would want Tom Brady? Is he right, KJM?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.